Greet each one this afternoon in the name of Jesus. Been good to be here again. Appreciated the lesson for the children. I think it was good for all of us, and I kind of was convicted on some of my thoughts preparing for the message here. I've been challenged, blessed by the fellowship, by the messages we heard these last couple days so far. The message this afternoon is on nonconformity and how we make nonconformity practical in our lives today. I'd like to just begin by reading Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We can turn to there where we get the word nonconformity from. Romans 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so what we talk about by nonconformity is we are not conforming to something here. We're not conforming to the system of the world and what they are following. And we are doing things that go contrary to the system of the world. I'd like to just bring, I guess for those of you that weren't here last night, a couple of points Brother Dale had in his message. They are very foundational for this message as well. And the first one is, as he stressed last night, that ye must be born again. That is the foundation before we can look at this, is ye must be born again. And a second one I'd like to mention is the thought of the two kingdoms, that we are either a part of the kingdom of light or of the kingdom of darkness. We cannot be a citizen or be loyal to both kingdoms at one time. I've in the past sometimes looked at this subject as maybe a kind of a negative subject. I'd like to put maybe a positive emphasis on this, at least somewhat as I can. And I would say that there are things that we do have to give up, that we avoid as the people of God in this life, and we will get into more of that. But I would like, if you look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so I'd like to challenge us to take the long-term look at life as we view this message and the things we're looking at here. And I would like to put the emphasis on being, not only on being not conformed to this world, but especially that we are transformed into the image of God's Son. You think of not conforming, we think of conforming, that's bending to something. And we think of not conforming to society around us, or a group not conforming to the normal of the society that they're living in. And we can think of things like the hippie culture and other things like that in our country where they have went against what was normal in society. They're not doing the same things that are normal for other people and those around them. Is that all we are looking for, that we are just different from the mainstream of society? Is that just our goal, that we stand out from the world just because of our distinctive clothing and things like that? Is that all our goal is as we look at this subject here this afternoon? I'd like to think a little bit of these words here that I've been talking about. First of all, we have the word conform. And that, in my mind, would be to fit into something. We are conforming to a pattern or to, it's to be flexible, to fit into whatever is going on around us, or to be able to be changed to what is around us. And I thought of the blacksmith, thinking of a blacksmith shoeing a horse or working with other metal, that they take that piece of metal and they conform it to the shape that they want that metal to be in. And there is someone in control of that that is shaping that to fit into what is normal for that society, whatever there. And then I'd like to think of the word transform here. And literally in the translation, this means to metamorphose. And I'd like to give us the picture of a caterpillar changing to a butterfly. And that is not just conforming. That caterpillar just didn't change in its shape. It actually died. Well, I'm getting too deep over my level here, but it actually changed from one thing into another. It is transformed into, from one ugly little creature, at least to most of us, to a beautiful creature that we enjoy watching. And I'd like to compare that to our life as we are changed to a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so as we are a new man in Christ, as we are this new creature, we're not just an improved version of the caterpillar here. We are a butterfly. We a new creature made whole by the blood of Christ. Now a child of God. Now we are serving in a different kingdom. A person that has different goals, different aspirations than we had before. Following the directions of a different leader that is going opposite of a lot of people around him. And so what directions are we taking as we follow? What does God ask for his children here? And I'd like to think a little bit of God calling us out to be separated from the world. Also in 2 Corinthians here, chapter 6, begin reading at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so we can think back in the Old Testament here for much of time. God has called his people out to be separate from the world around them. We think even of Noah, that God called him to build the ark, separated him from the evil around him. And what we think of most times probably is Abraham, as God called him out of his homeland where he was familiar with things and called him out of a center, a wicked city, a center of evil worship, called him out to be, that he could make a people unto himself. And this continued on through history with Abraham's descendants as he kept revealing his will to them, that he made them his special people, a people that was holy and separate from the world around them. And so today, God continues to call us to be separate from the world around us, the evil world around us and its system. And why do we need to be separated? Why is there a need for separation in our lives? And shouldn't, as we are living the transformed life, shouldn't we be able to resist evil with the power of God in our lives? And yet mingle with the world? Shouldn't we be able to stand that? And maybe that is asking the wrong question. Maybe we should be asking, if we are truly living the transformed life, why do we want to be a part of the world and a part of the things that go on in the world system? Should we long to be a part of the society around us? If we are living a transformed life. And I'd like to continue on thinking about this. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. begin reading in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so here we have two lists given: the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And shouldn't we be able to tell by this list what kingdom we are in, whether we are controlled by the flesh or by the Spirit of God? And as we look at this list here, we can see there's a marked distinction between these two lists. They're going to clash with each other. And I noticed this list of the Spirit here is called the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, you think of fruit, and it's a result of a life that has been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And these other things are also fruit of the life that we are living, and what is controlling our lives there as well. And I think it's something we need to, as we look at this in our lives, that we need to take a close look at our lives and see what kind of fruit we are producing in our lives. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Another account here of the difference made in our lives when we have been transformed by the power of Christ in our lives. And we see here that we do not have the same desires. We are not following after the same things that these other people controlled by the other kingdom are following after. We're not doing maybe even the same things that we did in the past, but our focus has changed. The things that are important to us and that take our interest have changed from what they once were. And for someone that has not been transformed, they don't understand what makes the change in our lives. I'd like to think again of the example of the children of Israel and of them being separate from the world around them. And I'd like to just have a couple points here of what the reasons were, why God wanted them to be separate from the world around them. First of all, they were to be a holy people, a people that was free from sin and pure. And the nations that they were surrounded by, the nations that they went in and conquered, were steeped in idol worship and all the awful things that went along with that, the evil, immorality, and cruel things that went on with their worship with that. And along with that, they were to keep themselves pure from the evil around them. And keeping them separate was a way so they would not become entangled up with the evil around them. And I thought of the example of Balaam when the king of Moab wanted him to curse Israel, and God would not allow him to curse Israel. And finally Balaam told Balak to just allow the people to mingle with the people of Israel. Send the women over there so the men marry them, take them for wives. And that is what was a downfall for Israel at that point, was they allowed things to come in. They didn't keep themselves separate from the evil. They allowed evil influences to creep in among them. It was also a reminder to the children of Israel of who they were. They wore special clothes to remember who they were. And I think maybe sometimes we need to be reminded that we are a special people. They could forget why God wanted them to be different. But they were his special people that he took a special interest in. And so I ask, is it any different for us today? We are still called to be holy before God, and we are still called to keep ourselves pure from the evil around us. And sometimes we do need to pull away and make a distinct line between ourselves and the world around us. And I do think we still need to be reminded of who we are, and I believe that's one reason for being here today, is that we are reminded again of God working in our lives, what God has done for us, and that we are a chosen people, special in God's sight. I'd like to think here a little bit again of the two kingdoms. We mentioned that before. I'm not going to go into that in depth at all, but again, we are a part of one of two kingdoms, the kingdom of light or kingdom of darkness. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so we are a part of a spiritual kingdom of light or darkness. A kingdom not confined to one time or area, but a kingdom that is going to last for eternity. And this is, we have to make a decision in our lives. What kingdom are we going to be a part of? And staring neutral is not an option. We are going. No, the Bible says no man can serve two masters. We must choose which one we are going to be a part of. And I'm going to be, not quite yet, but we're moving into some practical areas of the way nonconformity or the transformed life affects us in our everyday life. And I would say again that a transformed life must begin from within, must begin with a transformed heart, one who has given themselves wholly over to God and to the kingdom of God. I'd like to again remind us of the account in Galatians chapter 5 that we already read. And I used to in the past, I would read down over that list, and well, I've never done that. And most of us could say that, or for all of us, we read down that, well, I've never done such and such. And I believe that, but I thought of really a transformed life. And I thought of the words of Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll just read two verses here for an example. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. It says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." And there's different examples given in that passage, but how many times have we in our thought life failed in some of these, in this list here? If we think of hatred being the same as murder, of lust as being the same as committing the act. And the transformed life will have victory in these areas. Victory in our thought life, victory in the secret areas that of our life that no one sees every day. And the outward result will also be the fruit of the Spirit that is evident in our lives, a change in our lives in a way that a different reaction to the experiences that life brings our way, that we can accept the experiences that come with peace in our hearts and love to those that mistreat us and so on down the list. And like I mentioned before, sometimes we can think of this message as, no, don't do this, don't do that. And there's a part, there's things that are attractive to the flesh that we stay away from. And I do recognize that as we are in the flesh, even if we are living the transformed life, that we could be tempted with these things. I'd like to challenge us, though, as we think of having our lives transformed by the Spirit of God in our lives. And again, if we have had this, it's going to be noticed by those around us. And so don't we have a great opportunity here? As we live our lives, as we have the potential to affect other people's lives, we have the potential to lift up the kingdom of God as we show what difference the power of God can make in our lives. And let's take this as an opportunity to show God's love and the effect of God in our lives to a world around us. Just a couple points here. Sometimes the actions of a transformed life won't necessarily make sense to the world around us. So I mentioned that, or they won't make maybe the best financial sense. And we can think of us, the money that we spent and the time to come to these meetings this weekend. There's probably a lot of our neighbors, our friends from the world that would wonder, why would you come to Chihuahua to sit in church for 2 days? And people ask, what drives us to give of our time to help those in need? I think of disaster cleanup and rebuilding. Why would you move away from here just because the church asks you to? Things that don't make sense to the natural man. Another observation that I've made when we are looking where to draw the line on issues, seems like sometimes, and maybe this is just me, we want to draw the line, we want to be transformed, but we want to draw the line to give us just about as much latitude as we can we like to be as free as we can. We want to be in the transformed kingdom, but I ask, if we are a part of the kingdom of God, should we want to be anywhere close to the kingdom of darkness? If we remember what we have been brought out from, do we want to be close to going back to it? Something for us to think about here. And I have some ways, practical things, areas that this affects our lives here that I'd like to just think about for a bit this afternoon. First thing I thought of is, I called it pride, and I don't really like that. That doesn't really explain it all, but as think of ourselves as we relate to each other, pushing our way to the forefront. I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear, but I thought of the example of Christ as humility, one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Does a transformed person have to be gathering attention to themselves? That's what I want. Do we always need to be people noticing me? And I think of the world system. A couple examples I thought of would be the sports heroes and the politicians. There is so much, this is what I can do better than the other person I was going to say for the good of the country, but it's often not that, it's for what I can do. How should that affect us. Also, the transformed life will have an effect on the way that we relate to authority, whether we are placed in a position of authority or whether we are answering to authority. And most of us are in both camps, but it affects how we relate to authority. And I think of our lifestyles here, the way we live our lives, and I think in many ways we are affected by the society around us, and there's normals that are normal and okay. But I think we have principles from Scripture and other things as well that should guide our lifestyle and the way that we live our lives. I think of the principle of stewardship, that the possessions are not mine, but they are God has entrusted to us to use them. Again, thinking of pride or our image that we want to portray to others. And a couple things I have listed here be our vehicles and our places. You know, that those are things that we use, have a good use for. But are we using them for the furtherance of God's kingdom, or are we using them as a status symbol to those to our image that we'd like to portray? And also I thought of the way we spend our money leisurely and vacations and so on. And I believe vacations are fine. Rest, we need rest at times. But I think the transformed life will look at what we will be cautious of the way we spend our money on this. And I thought also of clothing and our appearance. And you probably thought I'd get here sooner or later. But, you know, it does. What does govern the way that we dress, the clothes that we buy, what attracts us to the clothes that we buy? And again, thinking of us putting ourselves out in front of gathering attention, how does the transformed life appear to others? And also in our work, in business life, and that this could be both as if we are in business for ourselves or working for other people, that we conduct our lives with honesty, integrity. And this is another area that maybe the transformed life will not make sense to the world around us, that we sometimes take financial losses for the good of, for the sake of peace to those around us. And our drive will be apparent to those around us. Our drive, if our drive is just to make money and we run over our competition just for that, I think those around us will notice that as well. And also how we fill our tax reports out. Different times of people, if they want to pay cash, that way, you know, you can just put it in your pocket. And I had quite a discussion with one man. He said, "You mean that you, every time somebody pays for their hay in cash, that you report that?" And he had a hard time believing me for a bit there. Maybe that was a reflection on me, I don't know. But but I don't give these things as a condemnation. I'm giving these things as a challenge that we think on how we live our lives, that we are encouraged to be more faithful even than we have been. And I trust that many of us, or all of us, have been faithful. I think it's a good reminder for me that to evaluate where I have been and where I am going with this. I have just a couple verses here before we close. Philippians 3:9-10. This was Paul's desire, should be our desire as well. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Also Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So may God bless us as we live our lives transformed by the power of God.